Today we're going to learn Daf Yud Ches of Maseches Arachin. We left off on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of a discussion where we utilize the word who whenever it appears to mean Mitzchilaso V'ad Sofo. So the first thing we're going to talk about is whether that's true when it comes to Psulei Eidos. What if a person was Kasher Leidos at some point, Pasul Eidos at another point, but he was not Kasher Mitzchilaso V'ad Sofo? Is he in fact Kasher Leidos? The Gemara is then going to discuss when the Mishnah says that if a person has Svina Biyam, or he has 10,000 Zuz that he inherited from his father, that we still consider him to be poor. What exactly does that mean? At what stage of the inheritance is he? At what stage is that Svina Biyam? And then we're going to talk about, the Mishnah is going to discuss how to measure it's going to elaborate what the cases are that we said in the previous Mishnah, that we measure based on the Ne'erach, we measure based on the Ma'arich, as far as age is concerned, as far as gender is concerned, what exactly that means. And then the following Mishnah is going to discuss, when we talk about all these ages, do we mean the day that he turns that age, or the year that he turns that age, or the following year is the fifth, let's say from the age of five, is the fifth year kilamata or kilamala? And that's going to lead us into a discussion of ad v'ad b'chlal, or ad v'lo ad b'chlal. And if you generally hold one way or the other, our Mishnah may be superfluous, or it may be that it's quoting a drasha that's unnecessary, and the Gemara is going to discuss how we fit that into the discussion of ad v'ad b'chlal and ad v'lo ad b'chlal. And the Gemara is going to give a number of cases where we assume that we measure things, that we measure ages based on, or measure years rather, not based on the calendar year, but based on the individual year for that person or for that item. And we're going to bring a source for most of those things, including at the very end, we're going to have a comment of the Braisa that we even measure the years Shebeben v'Shebebas, of a son and a daughter. And we're going to try to discuss what does that mean. We're going to have two possibilities. We'll try to explain why each one does not hold like the other one. And through that, Be'ezras Hashem, we will finish the parak. So we left off about five lines from the end of the page on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, Elameyata. So says the Gemara, Elameyata, if you're going to say that the word who always means mitchila v'ad sofo, what do you do with the word v'hu eid? Ad sheyehei kosher mitchila v'ad sofo. That should imply that for a person to be an eid, he has to be kosher from the beginning when he first saw the eidus until he actually delivers the eidus. V'chitei ma'achin hami. So you'll say, yeah, he does have to be. No, v'atanya ha'yodeh lo be'edus. If a person knew eidus about somebody else, ad shelo nasa chasano, before he ever became the son-in-law of that person, meaning they were not related at the time that he first saw the eidus, v'nasa chasano, and then in between he became related to him, he married the fellow's daughter, so that's a psul eidus. Father-in-law and son-in-law is a psul eidus. Pikeach, or if a person was regular, was able to hear, v'nischaresh, and then he became a deaf-mute at some point afterwards. So cheresh, even though it seems to refer to a physical ailment, the assumption was that there was no way to educate a deaf-mute, and therefore a cheresh is someone who's not able to function normally in society. I mean, this is before sign language and other ways of communicating and computers and the like. Alex Sofer has a long tshuva where he discusses, he saw a school for the deaf, and he discusses whether a cheresh is still considered someone who's physically impaired. However, someone who is unable to function as a result of being a person of special needs who is low functioning and requires assistance just to fulfill his day-to-day tasks of functioning, we would consider that a cheresh. Sometimes people, Rav Shechter pointed out, sometimes people mistakenly call that a shota. That is not a shota. A shota is a deranged person. Someone who's just at a low level of functioning and requires assistance, that would be a cheresh. So let's say a person is a pikeach, and then he became a cheresh after he found out the eidus, or pasuach, he was a person of sight, and then v'nistama, and then he became blind after finding out the eidus, shafoi, or v'nishtata, or he was a person who was even keeled, and then he became deranged, hareze apostle. In all these cases, he's apostle, because at the time that he's supposed to say his eidus, he's no longer a kasher eid. Aval hayodea lo eidus. But what if he knew eidus ad shelo nasa chasano, before he was related, v'nasa chasano, and then sometime in between, he became related, but the time to deliver the Yedus was V'achach Mesabita, was only after this fellow's wife, the other fellow's daughter, had passed away, so he was no longer related to him by the time that it came time to deliver the Yedus. They were only related through marriage in the first place, and the marriage is no longer there once Mesabita. Hikech is a question in Achronim, is the marriage no longer there when a wife dies for every single halacha, or do we mean that they're just not considered married, or do we say that, no, for certain inyanim, we would consider that that marriage is very different, let's say, than having than a marriage that would have ended in a divorce. But either way, certainly, as another viewer points out, the marriage is over when one of them passes away, and the greatest raya that the marriage is over is that that she's allowed to remarry if he dies, and after Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, he's allowed to marry if she dies. So that's the greatest raya, that the marriage is over. Although I believe the Nodav Yehuda writes that al pi Kabbalah and al pi Nigla and Nister and emotions and everything, it's still not quite the same kind of end as a get krisus, which ends the marriage. And intuitively, we would imagine that it's a different kind of an end to the marriage. But anyway. But as far as Eidos is concerned, when the daughter dies, the wife of this fellow dies, of this Eid dies, they become Kashula Eidos again. So Pikech v'nischarich v'chaz v'nispakach, or if you have a person who at the time of the Eidos was a Pikech, and then he became a Cherish, and then he became a Pikech again, Pasuach v'nistam v'achar kach nispatach, or at the time of the Eidos he was able to see, and then he became blind, and then by the time to say the Eidos he was able to see again, Shofav v'nishtata v'chaz v'nishtafe, and the same, he was normal, deranged, and then normal again. Kosher, that's good enough, because he was kosher le'edus at the time that he saw the edus, and he was kosher le'edus at the time of the Haggadah edus. Zeh haklal, kol shetchilas v'sofer b'kashrus, kosher. As long as at the beginning, at the end, he was kosher, that is good enough. So this is a kasha on the application of the rule that we're saying, that whenever you have the word who, it means mitchilas v'atsofo, uninterrupted, because over here it is not mitchilas v'atsofo uninterrupted. It was interrupted, and nevertheless, we still say, even though it was interrupted, we still say that he's going to be kasha le'edus. So says Gemara, no. Shaini hasam, in the case of the edus, it's different, because damar kra ora im lo yagid. Edus is 100% dependent on two factors, the Re'iyah and the Haggadah, the Ha'ika, and you have that. And therefore, it's irrelevant whether it was a consistent kasha le'edus beginning to end. As long as you have Re'iyah and Haggadah, ve'elahu lamli. Okay, that's great, but then what do you do with the word who? The word who is supposed to indicate that it's mitchila, so v'ad sofa. So it obviously doesn't mean that in the context of edus. So what does it mean? So l'cha d'tanya, it means what we learned in the following braisa. Ra'asiyah shel b'nei adam omdin, if you saw a group of people standing, ve'edav b'neihin, and amongst that group of people were witnesses who you believe know testimony about you, v'amar, and you say to them, mashbi'eni aleichem yod matem li'etus, I am hereby imposing a shavua on you that you know edus for me, shetov v'tiduni, that those who know that you who know edus for me should come and testify for me, and then they don't come and they deny knowing any edus, yachli yuhu chayavin, you might think that the guys in that group who actually are the edim should be chayav for shavuas edus. Tavolomar v'hu eid. That's why the pasuk says v'hu eid, which implies that he identified who the eidim are. He didn't just say, "World, you know eidus for me, and I'm being mashbia you." No, world is not good enough. You have to identify who they are. V'arei lo yichid eidav. And this guy was not miyachid the eidim. Oh, but how specific does he have to get? Does he have to point to them? Does he have to say by name? Yachla filu amar kol mi. You might think, even if he says all of those amongst this group who knows Eidus, you might think that's not called being Yachid Eidim. Tam lama v'hu Eid, v'ari Yichid Eidav. No, that is called the Yichud Eidim, and that would be good enough to be Mechayev Eshvos Eidus. Avul b'Karbanos Eynokein. When it comes to Karbanos, we said in our Mishnah, the rules are going to be different. So we said, if the father died and he left 10,000 zuz, and he left the and he left a lot of money, so the Hegdish has no taina on the money. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Of Mesvi Niachlo Ribo Ashiru Ashiru, he's an Ashir. What do you mean he has no taina on the money? He's a very rich man. So I'm Rabbi Avo, Ema Meniachlo Ribo, means not that he actually has the 10,000 zuz. If he has the 10,000 zuz in Ochinami, he's an Ashir. We're talking about a case where Meniachlo Ribo, he's in line to Yarshin the 10,000 zuz, but he hasn't actually Yarshin the 10,000 zuz yet. So says Rabbi Pshita, that's obvious that he's not going to be considered an Ashir. What does it matter that his father happens to be rich? Just because his father happens to be rich, it has nothing to do with him. So says Gemara, no, Kshay Avav Goses. It's close to being his money. His father's already a Goses. Mao Detema Rav Gosin Lemisos, I might think, since we assume that most Gosin are about to die, so that means this Yerusha is about to happen. At any moment, he's going to be Yerish the money, and therefore we should consider him to be wealthy right now when we're figuring out whether he's a wealthy man or not, to pay off his arachin or his damim. So kamash malan, that's why it teaches us that that's not true. As long as the father's still alive, that's all you need. If the father's alive, then the son is not a wealthy man. It's the father that's a wealthy man. Similarly, we had said, he has a boat out at sea and it has tens of thousands of stuff. So ashiru. So what do you mean? Isn't he a rich man? He's got all that stuff on the ship. Why would the Mishnah say that the Hegdish has no taina that he's a wealthy man? Of course he's a wealthy man. So Rav Chista, now, it's not his merchandise on the ship. His ship is being rented out to other people who are schlepping merchandise. Either a chakira agreement where he gets a percentage of whatever business they do with that merchandise, or a schiros agreement where he gets a flat rate. But bottom line is, it's not his stuff on the ship. So says Mar, yeah, but vayikas schiros. But you also do have the schiros, meaning it may not be his stuff on the ship, but he is entitled to the schiros payment, to the rental payment, and that alone should make him a wealthy man. No, schiros ain't a mishtalemes el lebasov. Even though we have a principle that's called yeshon leschiros mitchilu v'yadsov, that as a person rents something out for a period of time, the amount that he owes accrues over time. I mean, every moment that he rents it out for is included in the schiros payment. Meaning, schiros payment, the clock goes up on the schiros payment, but the payment is only due at the end. So the person is not considered to have the money for the schiros of his boat until the end, even though the ticker is going as they use the boat over a period of time. Mashal Madav Domer of Jonathan Sachs likes to give the mashal of you take a taxi ride in New York City, or in Israel, and so there's a moneh, there's a meter, and you're watching as you're driving that the meter's going up and up and up. So yeshel l'schiros mitchilu v'atzof, that it's going, it's moving as you're going. But ein mishtalemes el l'basof, you only pay it at the end, right? No one would say that it's a normal thing to do, or even an acceptable thing to do, to sit in the back seat with a roll of quarters, and as it keeps on going up, to start chucking quarters at the driver and throwing them toward the front seat. It's not supposed to be paid until the very end. And therefore, in this case, the guy is renting his boat out. It's not supposed to be paid until the very end. So therefore, he's not considered to be a wealthy man until he actually has the money in hand. He says, well, wait, why is he not a wealthy man? He owns a ship. Shouldn't the boat itself make him a wealthy man? Hamani Rabbi Eliezer here. We're assuming, like the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, that certain basic items that he needs in order to make a living aren't counted into our assessment of the guy's wealth. Ditran, Rabbi Lazar holds, Rabbi Lazar Omer, im hayi iker, nosin lo tzimdo, v'chamor, nosin lo chamoro. If he's a farmer, so you got to give him a pair of oxen that he could work the fields with, and that does not get cheshbined into his wealth, because that's just for his basic functioning. You have to realize wealth is comprised of two things. It's money in the bank, and it's ability to earn a livelihood. It's the constant ability to earn a livelihood day to day. So we can't, if a person doesn't have the ability to earn a livelihood, then that's a major portion of wealth that we're taking away from him. So when we're measuring wealth, we're measuring money in the bank and excluding the factor of ability to earn a livelihood. We're trying to make sure that he still continues to have the ability to earn a livelihood. So if he's a donkey driver, his donkey does not count toward his wealth. So if a person's a limousine driver, we don't say, oh, he drives this fancy limousine, so therefore he's a wealthy person because he has a Cadillac, a Hummer, or something like that. No, that's how he makes his living, by renting it out and driving people around with it. So that doesn't count toward his wealth. Okay, new Mishnah now. So Hashanah b'Nidar Ketzad. We had said before that we measure years based on the Nidar, the guy who the Nidar was made about. So what does that mean? Yelid Sheherich Zaken. If a young person says, I'm going to give the Erech of a Zaken, Nosin Erech Zaken, he gives the Erech of an older person, not of a younger person. V'Zaken Sheherich HaSeyelid, and in the reverse, Nosin Erech Yelid. Harachin B'Nerech Ketzad. What did it mean when we said that the Arachin go by the Ne'erach? So what does that mean? Ish Sheherich Isha, Nosin Erech Isha. If a man says he's going to give the Erech of a woman, he gives the Erech of a woman. V'Isha Sheherich B'Ish, Nosin Erech Ish. And a woman says she's going to give the Erech of a man, she gives the Erech of a man. V'Erech B'Zman Ha'Erech Ketzad. When we say that it all depends on the time of the Erech, what does that mean? Harichu Pachos Mi'Ben Chamesh. If he says he's going to give the Erech of someone who is less than 5 years old, V'Nasi Yosha Ben Chamesh. And then the person became over 5 years old, meaning the person had a birthday and he became 5 years old before the Erech was paid up. So you might think that you should pay based on what he's worth right now at the time of the payment, or Pachos Mi'Ben Esrim V'Nasi Yosha Ben Esrim, or any of the thresholds where the age changes, where the money changes based on a new age. So at the age of 20, so Nosin Bizman Ha'erech, he still gives based on the value of the Erech value of the person at the time of the Erech, meaning at the time that he committed to make the payment, not at the time of the payment itself. So Tan Rabbanan, Ata Hikashita Damim LaRachin. We compare Damim vows to Erech vows. So Margalis LaKalim, that relates to assessing the value of a gem, some sort of a jewel for poor people. Meaning, sometimes you'll have an item, a valuable item that could be sold for one price in its current location, but if the person really wanted to command a higher price for it, he would bring it somewhere else, and he would be able to command a higher price in a different location. So we assess it based on where it is right now, and not based on where it will be, not based on the potential of what it could be. V'lidam b'kvodo. And also with regard to the halacha, we also link them with regard to the erech and damim, with regard to the halacha, that nidam b'kvodo, that a person says he's going to give the erech of his arm, that doesn't mean anything. An arm doesn't have an erech. But if he says he's going to give the erech of his head, that means his entire erech. So yachal nakish arachin ledamim. You might think that arachin should be compared to damim with regard to the idea sheyitain kishas nesina, that you should pay based on the time of the payment and not based on the time of the neder itself. Tam lomar ke'erkecha yakum. That's why Pasuk says ke'erkecha yakum einunosin ela bezman ha'erech, that you give based on the time of that you made the Erech commitment, not the time that you're paying up on that Erech commitment. Okay, Yom Shloshim Kilamate Men, a new Mishnah. So day 30 of the child's life, we view him as if he's 29 days old, meaning he does not yet have an Erech. Shnas Chamesh Ushnas Esrim Kilamate Mehem. The fifth year of a person's life, the 20th year of a person's life, he's not considered to be 5 years old yet, or 20 years old yet, and therefore we give him the lesser Erech. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, V'im mi ben shishim shana v'mala. So it says, Mibem Shishim Shana V'mala, Harein L'meidim Bekulan Mishnah Shishim. So from there we see that it's L'mayla, that it's only above the age of 60. Mashnah Shishim Kalamate Mena, just like during the 60th year, we view him as what he is, a 59-year-old, Afshnas Chamesh Ushnas Esim Kalamate Mena. So too during a person's 5th year, during a person's 20th year, we view him as what he is, which is a 4-year-old or a 19-year-old, and not a 5-year-old. than a 20-year-old. So during that year, it's kilamata. Says Mar Hain, is that true? Mishnah rather, is that true? Im asah shnashishim kilamata min lahachmir. It's one thing to say that about the 60th year that he's considered to be 59, because that's a chumrah, because the erech goes down once you go past 60. Nasah shnas chamesh or shnas eshim kilamata min lahakel. Do we make the 50th year and the 20th year is younger? Then that would be a kula, because in at those ages, at those thresholds, it actually goes up. So Tamalomar shana shana l'gzer shava. That's why we have the word shana as a gzer shava, to tell me that ma shana ha'amura b'shna shishim kilamata af shana ha'amura b'shna chamesh b'shna sashim kilamata mimenu bein lahakel bein lahachmir. That it applies both l'kula and l'chumra, because that's what the gzer shava teaches us. Rabbi Lazar Omer ad shiu yiseros al shanim chodesh v'yom echad. Rabbi Lazar says, no, not only during the 19th year is he not considered a 20-year-old. Even on his 20th birthday, he's not considered a 20-year-old. He needs to go a month and a day past the threshold, past the 5th birthday, past the 20th birthday, past the 60th birthday, in order to be considered in that new category. So says Gemara Mufnet, this Gezer Shav that we had of Shana Shana, that links the 60th birthday to the 20th birthday and to the 5th birthday, and says that during that year you're still Kilamata Himena, that Gezer Shav has to be Mufna. It has to be an open Gezer Shav that even if you were to have a question on it and show how the two cases are not comparable, it would not blow up the Gezer Shava. Right? We've discussed many times that there are different strengths to Gezer Shavas, even though Gezer Shava can only be done if a person is Mekabel Mirabo, but there are stronger Gezer Shavas and weaker Gezer Shavas. A Gezer Shava that is not Mufna, where the words that are being utilized in the Gezer Shava are already being used for other drushos, so such a Gezer Shava is not as strong, and if there's a reason to assume that we should not apply the dinim of one place to the other, then we taka won't apply it. But Gezer Shava that's Mufna, even if the case is not comparable at all, the whole reason the Torah wrote those words, these extra words, is to make this Gezer Shava, and therefore it's an unquestionable Gezer Shava. You can't, even if there's a logical reason to question it, the Torah is telling us not to question it. Now this has to be Gezer Shava Mufna, because there is a very logical reason to question the link between the 60-year threshold and the 20/5-year-old threshold. The Mishnah itself already identified exactly what the problem was, that at the 60-year threshold the number goes down, at the 5 and the 20-year threshold the number goes up. So it's a chumrah at the 60-year threshold to say that he's considered to be younger. To say that he's considered to be younger at the 5 and 20-year threshold, it is a kula. So it must be that it's a gzeres shav mufna. Shana shana yaseh riksivi. The words shana are totally extra. Says the Gemara. Now, separate comment. Lema masnisin to lo karebi. Just the very fact that we need a gzeres shav to tell me that in his 20th year of life, he's not yet considered 20 years old, that already seems to be assuming, not like the Shita of Rebbe. Ti'i Rebbe, Hamar Ad V'Ad B'Chal. Rebbe holds we always say Ad V'Ad B'Chal. So if you say until someone is 20, it means including his 20th year. So it's automatic that it's Ad V'Ad B'Chal. Ditanya, how do we know? Where do we find that Rebbe holds Ad V'Ad B'Chal? Because the Pasuk says, Miyomar Rishon Ad Yom HaShvi'i, anyone that eats Chametz from Yom HaRishon of Pesach until Yom HaShvi'i of Pesach, so Yach HaRishon V'La Rishon B'Chal. So you might think that it does not include the first day of Pesach. It only includes Miyom Rishon, Miyom Hashvi, Ad Yom Hashvi, that from really day 2 to 6, that it doesn't include day 1 of Pesach, Shvi, Velo Shvi B'chal, and it also doesn't include day 7 of Pesach, because it is not Ad V'Ad B'chal, Kinyan Shnemar, Mirosh V'Ad Raglav, and we have such a similar idea when the Pasuk talks about Tumas Tzara'as, where if it covers his entire body, ironically, he becomes Tahar when it covers his entire body. So you might think that the same is true. And over there, it says Rosh V'Yad Raglav, but it does not actually include Rosh and Raglav. We're going to have to see in the Gemara why not. Like, how do we know that it does not actually include Rosh V'Raglav? So you might think that since just like it does not include Rosh V'Raglav when it says from Rosh until Raglav, so too it does not include day 1 and day 7 when it says from day 1 until day 7. So Rosh V'Lo Rosh V'Chal, Raglav V'Lo Raglav V'Chal, Tamalomra, that's why the Pasuk says Ad Yom Ha'echad Be'esrim L'Chodesh Be'erev. The Torah actually gives the exact date that you eat matzah. It says from the 14th day of the month in the evening until the 21st day of the month in the evening, which means from the first day of Pesach through the seventh day of Pesach. So Rabbi Yomar Eino Tzarech, I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Rishon Rishon B'chal Shviyu Shviyu B'chal. It's just the natural way the Torah speaks. Whenever we say from this to that, it's inclusive of both extremes. And therefore, our Mishnah seems to be against Rabbi, because our Mishnah did not make that assumption. Our Mishnah required a limud to tell me that year 20 is included as part of the earlier cheshbon. So it says, well, no, afilu tamer Rabbi. Our Mishnah could even be going like Rabbi, shakule mishkele kray. The problem with in the parsha of Arachin is that the psukim themselves seem to contradict each other. How so? Michti, ksiv mi ben chodesh viad ben chamesh shanim. It says from 1 month old until he's 5 years old. Okay, so Rabbi would normally say ad viad b'chal. That includes the fifth year. But then, sum mi ben chamesh and ad ben esrim lamali. Why does it have to say from 5 years old till 20 years old? Not just why does it have to say. When it says from 5 years old till 20 years old, according to Rabbi, not only is ad viad b'chal, but the number at the beginning of the cheshbon is also b'chal. So when it says mi ben chamesh, that itself should include the fifth year as well. So the fifth year seems to be overlapped in both directions. That can't be. It's a stira in the mashmos of the psukim. And that's why the Mishnah needs a gzeira shava to tell me what to do about that stira in the mashmos of the psukim. Now, Amar Mar, we had just mentioned rosho v'lo rosho b'chal, raglo v'lo raglo b'chal, that when it comes to tumas tzaras, when we say that a person has tzaras, that the tzaras spreads, mi rosho v'yad raglov, that it does not include the actual rosh and the regal. Minolan, how do I know that that's true? That the Torah refers to a case where the tzaras did not actually cover the head and the feet as well. So iba yaseim ha'shayni simanim d'gufa misimanim d'rosho. It could be just because what makes a person a mitzora on his head is different than what makes him a mitzora on the body. When there's a nega on a person's body, then when you have white hairs within the nega or the nega gets larger, that's a sure sign that the person is tamei. Tzaras on the head is when blonde hair or the nega expands. That's what makes tzaras on the head. So it has different rules. So when the Torah speaks about from his head until his feet, it can't be talking about literally his head included, the head included, because the head has different rules, and you wouldn't refer to it as one big unit. So it must be that the head's not included. If the head's not included, the feet must also not be included. So that's how I know, because simanim d'gufa are different than simanim d'rosho. Or ibayisema, another possibility, lechol mara enei kohen, that the pasuk says that the kohen has to be able to see the entire nega, both on the head and the feet. That's impossible, because on the head he has hair that covers his nega, and on the feet he has areas between his toes that the kohen cannot see. Meaning, there's what's called a beis hastarim. A beis hastarim is part of the body that is not readily visible from the outside all the time. That sometimes if he spreads his toes apart, you can see in between them, but a lot of times he's not. Beis Hastarim is nogea when it comes to the halachas of tevila b'mikveh. That the halacha is when a person is tovel in a mikveh, you're not allowed to have a chatzitza in the Beis Hastarim, but the water does not actually have to hit the Beis Hastarim. That's why when a woman goes to the mikveh, she has to brush her teeth and floss and make sure there's no chatzitza in her mouth, because it's a Beis Hastarim. She has to blow her nose, make sure that the bottom part of her nose is totally cleaned out, but she does not have to have water that actually goes into her mouth. That's not part of the rules of going to the mikveh, because that's the rule of a Beis Hastarim. So Blazer Marachi Yiseros Al Hashanim Chodesh V'yomecha. Now we're going to discuss that part of the Mishnah, where Blazer says it's not enough to reach a certain age. You have to be 1 month and a day over that age. So Tanya, Reb Blazer Omer, Nemar Kan V'mala. It says by Arachin V'mala. It says Shishim Shan V'mala V'nemar Lalan Chodesh V'mala. And it says as far as when we list the Leviim, the numbers of the Leviim, when we count the Leviim, that Leviim are counted from 1 month and Maila, so Maila Halami ben Chodesh V'yomechad. So just like by the Leviim, V'maila means 30 months and 1 day, 30 days rather, and I mean a Chodesh and 1 day, Afkan Chodesh V'yomechad. So too by Arachin, when we say a person 60 years old, we mean 60 years plus a Chodesh V'yomechad. V'eima ki hasam ha-hasam cha
chad yoma, af kan chad yoma. No, if we're really going to compare it to the Levim, we should say that just like the word lemaila doesn't add an extra month, it adds only an extra day, because it's mi ben chodesh v'maila. So too, by shishim, the word lemaila should only add one day and not a month. Im kein gzereshava mai ahani. So if that's so, then what do we need the gzereshava for? If the word v'maila already tells me something extra, an extra day, so the gzereshava to Levim must be telling me that there's something else special about the Levim that we're applying over here. Tanu Rabbanan, shana amur b'kachim, shana amur b'ateri choma, shtei shanim shebstei achuza, v'shei shanim shebevid ivri, v'chein shebeben v'shebebas, kulen me'es le'es, that we do not look at the calendar year, but at the individual year when it comes to these five halachos, when it comes to batei arichoma, the houses in arichoma, in walled cities where the halacha is, the Torah tells us, if you sell a house in a walled city in Eretz Yisrael, meaning Mukev Schom Mos Yoshua Ben Nun, you have 1 year to buy it back, and if you don't buy it back in that 1 year, then you're never allowed to buy it back, and even at Yovel, you don't get it back. The measurement of how we assess 2 years by Estei Achuza, where the halacha is, if you sell part of your Achuza, part of your Yerusha, you have to give the buyer 2 years where he's allowed to have it, and after 2 years you can first buy it back. And the Sheish Shanim Shebev Rivri, 6 years that Nev Rivri works before he has to make his decision whether he's going to go through Ritzia and stay on as Nev Rivri, or it's going to be over. V'chein Sheben V'Shebebas, and also by Sheben Shebebas, and that's somewhat cryptic. The Gemara is going to have to explain what that means. We'll have two deos. Kulan Me'es Le'es, all of those are based on not the calendar year, but Me'es Le'es, based on that person, a full year based on when it started. So if I made the sale on the first day of Chodesh Tammuz, so then the sale is going to be until the 1 year is up on the first day of Chodesh Tammuz of the next year, and not on Rosh Hashanah of the next year. So now we're going to point out the sources for most of these halachas. Shana Amur B'Kachim Minalan, Amr Avach Bar Yaakov. How do I know that the Shana that we talk about by Kachim, meaning by the age of an animal, we say that the age of an animal is sometimes a ben shana or ben shtei shanim. So how do I know that that's true? So I'm Ravach Bar Yaakov, I'm a kra, keves ben shnaso. Pasuk says, keves ben shnaso, shnaso shalo v'shlo shal minyan olam. That it's his own year, it's not based on the calendar year, based on Chodesh Tishrei. Shana amur batei arichoma. What about by batei arichoma? Dechsiv atom shnas mimkaro. Mimkaro shalo v'lo shana l'minyan olam. Shtei shanim shabstei achuza. What about the 2 years of stei achuza? Dechsiv kimispar shnei tvuos yimkar lach. Pam shadam ochel shalosh tvuos b'shtei shanim. That sometimes you'll have a person that has three tavuos, three crops that happen in only 2 years. Sheish shebevrivri, the 6 years of evrivri, dechsiv sheishanim yavod ubashviyas, that it's in the seventh year that he goes free. So we darshin, what does that mean, ubashviyas? That not in the seventh year he goes free, but sheishanim yavod ubashviyas, kama, that we put the kama after the word ubashviyas, as if we're saying he works 6 years, and in the seventh year sometimes, meaning how could he be working in parts of 7 years? Because we measure the 6 years based on when he started working, not based on the calendar year. So it turns out that he's working in parts of 7 years. And when it comes to Ben and Abbas, that's also Me'es La'es. So Nahilchasa, Lagabe, what halacha do we assume Sheben Shabbas is Me'es La'es? So Amrav Gidol Amrav La'arachin. It's talking about Arachin, that how old is this person that we're making the Erech Vow about? It's not based on when Rosh Hashanah comes, it's based on when his birthday comes. Rav Yosef Amar, L'prakin Diotzido, L'pirkin Diotzidofen. No, it's regarding the halachos of Perik Yotzidofen, which is in Meseches Nida. It's a little bit strange that we call it Pirkin. Pirkin means our Perik, but nevertheless, in Yotzidofen, we discuss the halachos of when a person is old enough to take a neder that's going to be binding, when a person becomes a bar or bas mitzvah. So all of that also depends on the person's own age and not based on the when Rosh Hashanah is going to be. So I'm going to buy Rav Yosef. So says Abai to Rav Yosef, Mi Palgisu, when you and Rav Gidol each give different answers about what Shebeben v'Shebebas means, are you really arguing with each other? Meaning, do you really hold different that the other, the topic the other one spoke about should actually be measured by Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, by Rosh Hashanah, and not by their own years? I'm going to lo. He says, no, we don't disagree with the halacha. We disagree disagree with the perush of what it means shebeben v'shebebas, ana amri chada v'or amri chada. I interpreted the brisa one way, he interpreted the brisa the other way, but we agree la halacha that bar and bas mitzvah is dependent on when the child's birthday is, and that arachin is dependent on when the person's birthday is. That all of it, that neither one holds that any of those things are dependent on Rosh Hashanah and hachinam mistavra. If you're going to assume that they argue mandar la arachin la amar liyotzi dofen, as so Rav Gidol, who said that it's talking about arachin, would not say that the same is true for yotzi dofen. Vamarav hilchsub kula pirka may es la'es. Rav says that in parak yotzi dofen, the halachos of all of the ages given in parak yotzi dofen are me ace la ace, so it can't be that he would disagree with that. Okay, but then why would they interpret the brisa differently from each other? Meaning, if you're going to say, like Rav Gidol Amrav said, that it's talking about arachin, why not say that it's talking about those ages in Yotzei Dofen when we say v'chein shebeben v'shebebas? No, because Dumya Dahanach, because the brisa is giving a list, so it has to be similar to the other items mentioned in the list of the brisa. Ma hanach the Ksiva, av hanach the ksiva. Everything else in that brisa, the years of a korban and the bateri choma and steyachuza and sheishanim of an evet, all of those things are in the Torah. Those are psukim in the Torah that define that number of years. So it has to be Ben Shabbas is also referring to something that's explicit in the Torah, namely the arachin. It doesn't say the age of bar and bas mitzvah in the Torah. We derive that elsewhere, but it doesn't say that explicitly in the Torah. So that's why it can't be talking about that. V'idach. And what about Rav Yosef? Why does he interpret the brisa to be talking about the shanim of the Yotzei Dofen and not arachin? Because if it's referring to arachin, which was actually written in the Torah, hay sheben v'shebebas. When we say sheben v'shebebas, that's the wrong words to use. It should have said Shebezachar v'sheben nekeva, because if we're referring to a parsha in the Torah that actually uses words, we should use the words that the Torah uses. And the Torah does not use the word ben and bas. The Torah uses the word zachar and nekeva. That would have been the much more appropriate terminology. So that's how he knows that it's talking about the ages of Perek Yotzei Dofen. Umayshna nekeva d'chi mizakna kaima atilta. Now the Gemara just asks Stam. This arachin thing is very interesting, how the erech changes as the person ages. When it gets to a woman getting older, she still has a third of her original erech. When a man gets older, he does not retain a third of his original erech, meaning the erech of a woman in her prime, we'll call it, from 20 to 60, is 30 shkalim, and when she's over 60, it's one third of that, it's 10 shkalim. But a man, in his prime, it's 50 shkalim, but then it drops, when he's over 60, to 15 shkalim. Now, 15 times 3 is 45, less than the 50 shkalim that he is in his prime. So even though his erech is still higher than that of a woman, and for whatever reason that might be, but the drop-off is much more precipitous when it comes to a man than it is when it comes to a woman. Percentage-wise, the drop-off is much bigger when it comes to a man than when it comes to a woman. So why is that so? So the Gemara says, because the age has a different effect on men than it does on women. Amr Chizkia, Amri Inshi, Saba Bebesa. If you have an old man in the house, then pacha bebesa, then that causes trouble. Meaning he's a huge burden on people. He becomes very, very needy, and it's not easy to live with an older man in the house. Safta bebesa, sima bebesa. But an older woman in the house, she can she still cooks her famous kugel, and she tells stories or whatever. An old woman in the house is considered to be like a sam, like a special. Rashi says a matmon, a special treasure, that she could still do all the things, she could still do all of her work, even bizaknusa, even in her old age. It is interesting that we refer to a 60-year-old as a saba, right? The Torah tells us, seva takum, v'adarta p'nei zaken, and that's a reference to the two separate mitzvahs of standing for both an old person and a zaken is zesh akana chachma. So there's a discussion, a stira between the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, and I think the Targum, at what age does a person reach the age of Seva? Does Seva happen at the age of 60, or does Seva happen at the age of 70? So at what age is there a Chiyuv to stand for an older person? But at least as far as Arachin, it's explicit in the Torah that the key age where it changes, not in terms of actual value, but in terms of Erech value, is at the age of 60. And that's what the Gemara refers to over here, that an older man becomes more of a burden, an older woman becomes more of a treasure. So Hadron Allah Chesed Yadim Bez Hashem, next time we will pick up with the new perek, with the fifth perek of Maseches Arachin.